Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And certainly, we know because we bring you traffic and weather together on the fives every 10 minutes on KRDO's morning and afternoon news. We know that traffic is a primary consideration for those of you who are listening. A lot of you are listening, of course, from your cars. So we want to make sure that you have all the information when it comes to the various projects that are going on our state highways. And that's why once a month we talk to Michelle Pulin with the Colorado Department of Transportation. She is the Region 2 Communications Manager. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, as always, Michelle? Thanks for the opportunity. I love
Am
to
I
get
hearing
to...
you correctly? Oh, there
you go. Can you not hear me? Oh, sorry. So yeah, thanks for
I hear you now. You know,
again.
There is a bit of a delay. There is a bit of a delay. Oh,
okay.
You bet. Sometimes this is going to be a little trickier because I am reporting from home. We're trying to do things remotely to cut down on the number of people who are in the physical space of our station at one time, you know, trying to do our part to keep coronavirus transmission low. So that being said, I know that one area that, you know, people really don't want to see a slowdown or people working from home is our road construction work. And you have a number of projects that are certainly visible to everyone driving by and of very big interest. So one of the projects that we've been focusing on from the moment that it really started is this MAMSIP project. So tell us about MAMSIP. What is MAMSIP and why is it important and why is the CDOT tackling this project?
You bet. So the MAMSIP project, which is an acronym for Military Access Mobility and Safety Improvement Project. It is made up of four components. We will be working on Colorado 94, I-25, South Academy, and Charter Oak Ranch Road. And why are we focusing on those areas? Is we understand the importance and the economic driver that our military installations are. We understand the importance of the folks who work on those bases needing to have reliable mobility to and from. We understand that there are deliveries and that we need to make sure that our transit folks can get to those areas. So we wanted to create a project that would look at all of those different areas and really add some improvements. We were the recipient of a build grant to help us with this project, but right now you will see work focused in two areas. Colorado 94, we are currently doing an expansion of the westbound passing lane. Earthwork and paving in the area is complete, and this is between mile point 4 and 5.5, so it's a small area, but huge impacts. We're expected to be doing some final striping in that area next week. We're doing utility work for fiber that will be in the area. Work hours are 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Folks who drive I-25 between South Academy and Fountain probably saw that it was a very active area the last couple of months for CDOT. We were doing some emergency paving in the area to get us through the winter. That paving as of yesterday is complete for the season. However, that component of the project will start becoming very active in the coming months. And what are we doing in that area? This is going to be a fairly extensive project that won't be complete until the end of 2022. So we will be replacing two bridges that cross over South Academy. We'll be widening the inside and the outside shoulders. We're going to be doing a concrete surface treatment for 7.5 miles to improve the riding surface. And then, of course, installing median barriers throughout there, that the whole stretch, which is like I said, 7.5 miles between South Academy and Fountain. And then we'll be also installing a deceleration lane at the interchange of Colorado 16. So lots of work happening with that project. And again, it will be a long-term project, multiple seasons.
Right, right. And when you're talking about that, first of all, some people may not understand, so maybe you can explain why fiber optics. You mentioned that there's fiber optics going in, and some people may not understand that that's an increasingly important part of highway construction.
It very much is an important aspect of our construction. You see our overhead signs that we have in the area. That's how we connect those signs, and it allows us also to bring fiber optics into areas that may not have it. Communities can, you know, kind of tap into the trenches that we build, and we kind of start the fiber optic infrastructure in that area.
Okay, so as you said, that will be ongoing, all of that work ongoing, and we'll be definitely getting updates on that as we make our way through this construction period. We're going to be talking about ramp metering. I'm going to take a short break right now. We have a bit of a long delay, Michelle. I apologize for that. Sometimes that happens when we're doing things remotely. So we're going to see if we can shorten the delay in our break, but right now let's take a short time out for commercial messages. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And joining us on the phone, Michelle Pulin with the Colorado Department of Transportation. She is the Regional Communications Manager. And Michelle, always a pleasure to talk to you, as we do pretty much once a month. And right now, I've been noticing a lot better behavior at those ramp meter on-ramps, the metered on-ramps, where people are now, through the Colorado Springs area, are now kind of getting, I think, a little bit more accustomed to what the regulations are when they're going through those areas. How has it been getting those ramp meters installed, and is it all complete?
Yes, so the I-25 ramp metering project through Colorado Springs is complete. You know, we have the installation of the 12 meters at the end of the on-ramp, so that has been done. And we have also, you know, all of them are operational. And as you said, we're starting to really see improvement in how folks are taking to those signalized ramp meters. And as time goes on, we expect to really be able to see the impacts they're having on congestion. It's tough to gauge right now the impact they are having because of the reduced traffic volumes. But, you know, we almost see it as a silver lining. If, while we have those reduced traffic volumes, it gives folks the opportunity to get used to those signalized meters. And as you said, abide by what they're meant to do. So, and more than anything, right, you know, thank you to Colorado Springs motorists for having the patience and getting adjusted to those and getting used to them. And, you know, we're excited to announce that phase two of the project will be starting in late spring, early summer of next year, which will add additional ramp meters to the Colorado Springs area.
Right. And it doesn't seem like they've caused too large of backups, I've been noticing. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, maybe especially during high commute hours, maybe, you know, 8 to 10 cars, but it goes really fast. So not too problematic. And certainly it doesn't seem to be causing any access problems for the neighboring businesses.
Absolutely. I would agree with you that we aren't seeing too much of a backup. And you know, when the signals first went operational, and if you think back, each one started at a different time. We didn't turn them on all at the same time. We did different testing phases with each. And that gave us the opportunity to really make sure that the signal was responding as it should, because each signal operates independently. And it gave us a chance to really adjust timing as needed for that particular that particular signal. So we think the project was a huge success. So we're hoping to see once, right, you know, we get back to some normalcy and normal traffic, that they will make a huge impact on congestion in the Colorado Springs downtown area.
Right, right. And another project that I guess people need to be on the lookout for is something involving signs. Tell us about this project that people need to be watching out for.
So this is the second in a two-phase project that we are starting in Colorado Springs. The last one wrapped up a couple months ago. So this one will start the first of the year. You may see a little bit of activity between now and the first of the year, but we will be replacing 580 signs on I-25 in Colorado Springs. So it gives us the opportunity. Signs wear out over time, just like everything else. So they lose some of reflectability. So we will be replacing those. There are two existing overhead structures with signs that we will be replacing. So that will have the most significant impact. But we don't anticipate that this project will have too much of an impact on motorists on I-25, other than them seeing construction crews and having a work zone on I-25. And as I said, the bulk of activity will start at the first of the year and run through the summer on the sign replacement project.
Right. And through, like, for instance, the Colorado Springs corridor, are those signs electrified, or are they relying on mostly reflective material to illuminate what we're needing to see at night?
The signs are reflective. They don't have any electricity to them.
So that's another reason you want to make sure that they get upgraded, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. It's very important that those signs are visible, you know, particularly at night, to motorists so they can better navigate their way through the roadway.
Right. Okay. Well, Michelle, I know we have a lot of projects to talk about. Certainly one of the projects that people, I think, may, you know, you don't think about this being a safety issue until, you know, you need it, which is when you're in the middle of an accident. And we're talking about the I-25 cable barrier project that's stretching between Pueblo and Colorado Springs. Can you update us on where we stand with that one?
You bet. So the cable barrier project is a multi-phase project as well. You'll hear me talk about a lot of projects that we have phases on. But several years ago, CDOT made it a goal to have cable barrier installed the entire route, where appropriate, between Pueblo and Colorado Springs, because we see so many median crossover crashes. And cable barrier is one of the most effective materials that we can use to prevent median crossover crashes. So the current project that we're in is between mile point 114 and 121, which is near PPIR and Wigwam. And so we are just wrapping up what we call phase 4 of the project. Motorists can expect to see impacts to their commute in the northbound lanes right now, Monday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. And this particular project, once it wraps up in by the end of the year, will start then the next phase in 2021. So cable barrier is a great material that we use. It's much more effective than either what we call, you know, double or W barrier, which is the normal guardrail that you see, or concrete barrier.
Right, right.
Because a lot of times what happens is when folks hit that, they just bounce right off of it and go back into traffic, where the cable barrier tangles up your car and holds you in place, keeps you from striking any other vehicle. And it's the maintenance of it is a heck of a lot better and less expensive than other forms of barrier.
Right. And it might even absorb I'm not a physician, a physics major, but it might even absorb some of the force as the car is coming towards you. My guess is, helping to, at least distribute that along more of the barrier. Certainly, as we're talking about safety, one of the areas that we are expecting to see improve safety when it eventually gets done is the I-25 gap. So many people who commute between the two cities, Colorado Springs and Denver, are very interested in how that project is going and what is next and what has been completed in that process for that major lane widening, I guess, or highway widening project that's going in the I-25 gap. We're going to be talking about that when the extra continues. We'll take a short break for your commercial messages, news, traffic, and weather. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And our producer, TJ, in the booth, making sure that everything goes home safely because I am doing this remotely, as our guest is Michelle Pulin with the Colorado Department of Transportation. We haven't had in-person, in-studio interviews in so long, Michelle, and now there's talk of a vaccine. And, I mean, it's becoming more than just talk. I mean, we're looking at the possibility of it coming within the next couple of months, and that certainly will be very welcome indeed. And maybe we'll actually have in-person interviews once again in the KRDO News Radio booth. But Michelle, how has COVID impacted, or has it impacted, the work that CDOT has been doing?
Oh, absolutely. COVID has definitely impacted the way CDOT does business. So just as you are, many of us at CDOT are working from home, those of us who have the ability to, but the majority of our team is essential personnel. They're the ones that are out there taking care of the roadways and making sure all of us can get from point A to point B. So COVID is impacting them because we have to make sure we are adhering to those protocols that are put in place. We have to make sure that all of our crews are wearing masks. We have to make sure they're social distancing when possible, which it isn't always possible. And there's some equipment that requires more than one operator in a space that's less than 6 feet. So we have to make sure we're taking the proper cleaning protocols to make sure we're safe as well. And on the flip side of that, there have been some silver linings for us due to COVID restrictions. When we see these reduced traffic volumes because folks are staying at home, that allows us to have safer work zones. In the summer and spring months, we were able to move much of our work to daytime work because there wasn't as much traffic. And in some cases, we've been able to accelerate projects and get them done sooner because of the reduced traffic volume.
That's great. That's great. And speaking of one of those projects that people would love to see accelerated, but my guess is it hasn't accelerated that much, is the I-25 gap project. Tell us, what is the latest on that project? What can you tell us about where we stand with it?
We have so much to celebrate on the I-25 South Gap project. We have reached and passed the halfway mark. In September, we reached the two-year mark, and we're really starting to see lots of progress on the project. The project, the 18-mile project, is divided into three sections, the north, the south, and the middle section. The north section, I-25 construction is complete, so excited about that. The Spruce Mountain Road northbound on-ramp is now open. By the end of this year, you're going to see three more structures complete. The Greenland Road I-25 interchange will be completed. Crews started work on that structure in the summer of 2019. It was a circa 1948 single lane box culvert, and now it's been transitioned into a two lane underpass. Other
Wow.
structures,
So in dire need of upgrading, right? In dire need of upgrading.
I would say that we got our money's worth out of that structure that was built way back then. So yes, it was in dire need. So excited to debut that structure very, very soon. Two other structures that will be complete or are complete actually are wildlife underpasses. One is just south of the new Greenland Road interchange, and then one is north of the County Line Bridge. So the wildlife underpasses are 100 feet wide, 18 feet tall. The I-25 South Gap Project will have four new underpasses for wildlife, and that's expected to have a 90% decline in wildlife crashes through that corridor. So we are very excited for those to
Right.
get up and running. And we get lots of questions about how those work. And we, in addition to the under and overpasses, we have 30 miles of wildlife fencing that basically funnels wildlife to those safe crossings. And yes, we're very concerned about wildlife and making sure that, they aren't hurt. But more importantly, we see a lot of fatalities that are the result of a wildlife crash. So that's the bigger picture, is we want to make sure that motorists aren't striking wildlife.
Right. Because if you hit one of those going, 70 miles an hour or 75 even, it's going to be serious damage to your car. It's going to definitely a possibility for injury or even worse for the driver or passengers who might be involved. And two, even if it's not that serious, I mean, all of those bumps that go on between wildlife and drivers and motorists, even if they're not severe, they have the potential for really slowing down and messing up traffic, right?
You are absolutely right. Yeah, even the wildlife strikes that aren't that impactful can back up traffic for miles, either because we need to remove the animal or the vehicle has been damaged and on the side of the road and we've got curiosity slowing. So the best thing we can do is mitigate it so we don't have those crashes. So that's the mitigation is the purpose of all of the wildlife crossing points that we are creating. So excited to have four of those on this
Right.
particular project. And they're getting more and more popular throughout the state, and we're seeing great results because of these wildlife under and overpasses.
Right. But we can all do our part right now during the construction, though, right? By making sure that we follow all those posted safety and speed signs, because ultimately, your workers are putting and their contractors and subs and such are putting their lives, on the line. I mean, there's if you get in an accident there and are going too fast, I mean, someone could get hurt who is just simply there working.
Absolutely. And that's a term that we use quite frequently around CDOT is, we don't drive 75 miles an hour through your work zone. Please don't do that through ours. And you've got lots of lives that are out there. And we want to make sure at the end of the day that whether you're a motorist or someone working on one of the crews, that you go home safe at night. So yes, please, we continue to see folks going way too fast and not leaving adequate distance between you and the car in front of you through the gap. So please, and yet again, not just through the gap, in any area, any construction zone, please make sure you are abiding by those reduced speed limit signs. Please make sure you're driving safely, you're not driving impaired, you are not driving distracted, and make sure we're getting through at the end of the day to all meet that goal to go home safely. And one
Right.
thing that is a great thing to do to prepare yourself is be involved and or be in the know. So the I-25 Gap Project has a great text alert campaign. So if you text I-25 Gap to 21000, you will be sent alerts to keep you in the know on what's happening on that project.
Right, I do that, and every once in a while I'll have business that takes me up to Denver, and a couple of times I got the notice, the text saying, there is a problem if you hit I-25 going northbound right now, and so I've been able to reschedule my appointment or even just, you know, call it off and, you know, set it for another day. So that's what I've done. But I can vouch for they are great planning tools if you, you know, have the ability and go on the I-25 gap frequently enough or even infrequently. They're still very good for planning. All right, we're talking to Michelle Pulin, who's with the Colorado Department of Transportation, CDOT, and she is the Regional Communications Manager. We're going to continue the discussion. And when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about US 50 and the Purcell interchange, a big improvement that's set to be coming there, but what the construction entails, we'll be telling you. That's coming up in just a few moments. We're back with the extra here on KRDO's the KRDO News Radio, I should say. We finished up with KRDO's morning news. Now it's the extra as we continue working our way through this Thursday morning. And definitely we know that traffic concerns and highway concerns and commuting concerns are really top of mind when you're listening to the radio. A lot of folks are listening from their cars right now. So sometimes when you get stuck in one of those traffic jams, you're thinking, why couldn't they do something here to improve the traffic flow? And I think that's what the engineers were thinking when they decided to tackle the US 50 Purcell interchange in the Pueblo area. Wouldn't you say, Michelle?
I would 100% agree with you. It's definitely an area that is in need of an upgrade. And you know, Pueblo West is one of those areas, like many throughout Colorado, that we're really seeing growth. That particular intersection sees about 50,000 cars a day, and it's just not built for that. So we're in the process of building an above-grade interchange for that particular intersection, and we're also widening the westbound lanes. So crews are currently paving the newly constructed westbound lane between Pueblo Boulevard and Purcell. There's lots of earthwork in the area that's underway to build the on and off ramps. Motorists can expect to see working hours of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. And we do have some nighttime and weekend work on the project. There's extensive work going on Purcell Boulevard. And we understand that Pueblo West is an area that many residents commute to either Pueblo, Colorado Springs, or Canyon City. And with all of the active work on Purcell, you need to plan ahead and add an extra 5-10 minutes to your commute time when you leave in the morning and know that you could experience some congestion in the evening as well. This particular project will also be complete in 2022. And if you haven't caught on by now, I'm saying complete in 2022 quite a bit this morning. So that will be a very busy year for CDOT. So lots of large projects underway right now that are multi-season projects, and so we really feel like we're enhancing the infrastructure of Colorado with these projects.
And are these projects all state taxpayer funded, or is CDOT getting money from the federal government for them as well?
So can I say all of the above? CDOT is funded through a gas tax. That gas tax has not increased since 1991. So no matter what the price of gas is, we get 22 cents on each gallon sold. And then we also receive different types of funding from federal governments as well as the state government. So we kind of have several different sources of funding that we pull from.
I see. I see. So, you know, if you are in a gas efficient car, I guess are you still contributing as much to your highway projects, or is that a concern?
That is definitely a concern and part of a conversation that's been going on for some time about, you know, we have cars that, you know, are much more fuel efficient than they were in 1991. So those that drive fuel efficient vehicles aren't contributing as much to the roadway infrastructure as someone who, say, you know, drives a Ford F-150.
Right,
So, you know,
right,
we're
right.
looking at ways to find a good equitable way to make sure everyone is contributing their fair share. So,
Right.
haven't hit the nail on the head with that just yet, but hopefully we'll find a way to increase transportation funding within Colorado.
Right. I know that's been a conversation that's been going on throughout a lot of states, because, you know, sometimes when you get people who do, because of the nature of their community or their job, they're having to commute great distances. So of course they're going to go for a fuel efficient car. And if you start putting on a usage tax, you know, then that causes all sorts of ripple effects too with the economy. So we understand that's a big conversation. One thing that's also a big concern right about now, though, much more present and urgent concern, is we've heard from both CSP and, of course, Colorado Springs Police about an increase, a wave, if you will, of traffic fatalities. And I'm sure CDOT shares the same concerns as those law enforcement agencies in what's happening when we're seeing fatalities go up.
We are so concerned about the alarming rates of increased fatalities on Colorado roadways. As of right now, we have 542 fatalities on our roadways within Colorado. In all of 2019, we only had 596, and of course, that's statewide. In El Paso County, we have 75 fatalities so far this year, so that doesn't even include the month of December. For the full year of 2019, we only saw 66. You know, and we're seeing an alarming increase in motorcycle fatalities, speed-related fatalities, DUI-related fatalities. You know, last year in El Paso County, there were 20 impaired driving fatalities. This year, we've already had 27. So that's a significant increase, and a lot of it is due to driver behavior and poor choices behind the wheel. And so we're hoping that people really take a hard look at that and consider what they can do to be safe. You know, wear your seat belts. Don't drive distracted. Don't drive impaired. You know, obey the rules of the road. So we're really asking people, I know everybody's frustrated right now. Everybody's tired of all of the different COVID restrictions, but please don't take that frustration with you on the roadway.
Right, tired of being tired, but at the same time, we have to all be considerate of ourselves and hope that other drivers are considerate of us too, and that we're all in this together, as they would say, especially in
Yeah.
keeping our roads safe. I'd like to give a quick thank you to Michelle Pulin, who's the CDOT Regional Communications Manager for our region. We appreciate your time, Michelle. Thanks so much.
Of course. Thank you, Shannon. And you know, winter weather is moving in, so everybody stay safe through the weekend and stay home if you can.
We will take those that advice to heart. And you've been listening to The Extra. Thank you for listening. Make it a great day.